You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. In the audience at yesterday's inauguration of Gavin Newsom in Sacramento were former California governors, including Arnold Schwarzenegger and Gray Davis. Each shared with us some of their observations of this transition and time in leadership. So here's Ben Adler's conversation recorded yesterday with Governor Schwarzenegger.
Well, first of all, you're talking about the inaugural day, getting sworn in. I had Gray Davis, Governor Davis and Governor Wilson come up to me on the day when I was sworn in, and they said, "You enjoy the day, Arnold." I said, "Why do you say that?" And they said, "Because it's going to be the only day when you're really going to be happy." And he said, from now on, it goes downhill. And I had no idea. I said to myself, God, this guy is so negative. I mean, one Democrat, one Republican. You cannot even believe how negative people can be. Oh, sure enough, when I got into office, I realized of what they were talking about. Because you do step into this office, and there are an overwhelming amount of problems and challenges. Challenges from the past, challenges in the present, challenges that are coming up in the future and stuff like that. And to me, I always looked at those challenges in a very enthusiastic way because I felt like anything is possible, because I've seen it in my own career. And so I was totally committed of doing something different than most of the Republicans have done in the past, to reach across the aisle and to work with the Democrats together. I felt like the only action is really when both of the parties work together and get things done. And this is what I was trying to do. And, I had a terrific time, and I was honored that the people elected me, and I was really so happy that I could give something back to my state and to my country that has given me everything that I have.
And then you handed over power to Jerry Brown, who leaves office today with a big surplus instead of a big deficit that he inherited from you. What do you have to say about Governor Brown's time in your office?
Well, I think that he did a terrific job as governor, and I think that he was very fortunate that the economy was in his favor, and that for 8 years we didn't have a recession, because some politicians are fortunate to do that, very few, and then others are not as fortunate, as you know, that when you have a shortfall because of a recession of $20 billion and half of your budget is education, that means you have to take now from education $10 billion. Well, that does not make any parent happy. It doesn't make any teacher happy, no school principal happy, or anything like that. And then you have to take from other social programs the other $10 billion. So it is really a struggle. So we have gone through a major, major struggle. And I hope that the state will put together a much larger rainy day fund. A larger one that we had, a larger one that Jerry Brown has now gathered, and he has made a great effort to put it together, his $13 billion or whatever the Rainy Day Fund is. But the $13 billion could be gone within the first year, in no time, because when the economy goes south, then you have sometimes a $20 billion shortfall in revenues, and the $13 billion is not going to be enough the first year. So I think that California has to continue making an effort to gather together and to accumulate a great rainy day fund. But I think that Governor Newsom is a visionary. He's a terrific guy. He has a lot of energy. And what he said today at the inaugural address was right on the money. And I think that what he wants to accomplish and all this stuff, and be inclusive and bring everyone together, and this is a great home for everybody, I think all of this are the right messages.
Are you at all concerned that Newsom might govern more to the left of Jerry Brown? I mean, you and Jerry Brown had your differences, but you both, to some extent, governed from the center for this state.
Well, look, as you know, I'm not a politician that is looking at left, right, middle, and all this kind of stuff. I think it's all nonsense. I think what really is important is that you're a people's servant, a public servant. That Newsom, if it doesn't matter what his approach is, I leave this up to him. He's a Democrat. I'm not going to tell him to change parties or anything like that. And so he's going to govern, but the key thing is that he governs for the people. That he's there, a public servant and not a party servant. That is the most important thing. And so I wish him all the best of luck, and I also told him that I will be there 100% supporting him, and if he needs any help, I'm there for him.
And one last question. You are a vocal critic of President Trump, and you're part of a group of New Way Republicans trying to find another vision for that party. Would you ever consider, as some are, starting a new political party, or do you want to rebuild the Republican Party in California from inside the tent?
I think that the way they're going with the New Way is the way to go. I mean, to just, you know, make the party again what it used to be. You know, so I'm not asking for a new way of starting a new party, but to just a new way. Let's go back to the basics and to the old style with, you know, where Teddy Roosevelt was protecting the environment. Ronald Reagan was creating the Air Resources Board in California and wanted to get rid of smog. He was a Republican. Doesn't mean when you're a Republican you shouldn't be, you know, for having a clean environment. I mean, this is a natural thing. So I want them to get back to the normal way and to reach across the aisle, to work together and not to be just there of what is our way, but what is our way, not as Republicans, but our way as Californians, and to serve the people. That is the most important thing. That's what they want them to do.
So that was former California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger talking yesterday with Cap Radio's Ben Adler. Last week, I talked with the governor who preceded Schwarzenegger, Gray Davis, and one of our topics was wildfires. Today, in fact, the new governor is going to be in Colfax with emergency response officials. There's going to be an announcement of new executive actions, as they're described, related to the state's wildfire response. And I expect that the topic of infrared cameras will come up because of the comments that Gray Davis made to me when we talked last week. So you're going to hear some of that. I think it's helpful to know that Gray Davis chairs the Southern California Leadership Council. You'll hear him refer to it.
I became aware of a new infrared camera that had been deployed in the southern part of the state in San Diego for about 15 months now. That camera transmits every second to all the fire chiefs in the county, as well as the Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management. So instantly there's a fire. All fire chiefs can see how robust the flames are. One time the fire chief in San Diego sent every truck he had. The fire was put out in less than 90 minutes. The worst thing that's happened, no lives have been lost. The worst thing that happened is 4,000 acres have been burned. That's the good news. The bad news is those cameras are only deployed in southern Orange County and in San Diego. So I am head of this business council, and I have the academics. These are academics who created this camera at UC San Diego and at Scripps. One of them has moved down to the University of Nevada now. And they briefed this business council that I chair. Edison's CEO was there, and he got together with the academics afterwards. I wasn't at the meeting. He decided to buy 160 cameras. Those are being installed in Orange County. We'll move on to L.A. Gavin, here's where Gavin comes in. He wrote the CEO of PG&E. They're about half the state, including Sacramento. And they are going to install 600 cameras. And that will make all the difference in the world. But it will take a while to get those cameras installed. We have about 80 installed. I asked the academics about a week ago, and they thought we'll get to about 300 total by next fall. Well, if there's a way that we can get to 500 total, we'll put out more fires more quickly, save lives, save property. We'll have wildfires, but they're not going to produce anywhere near the damage that they used to produce. So Gavin has been really critical in getting PG&E, which is covers half the state, to make that commitment. I mean, it's $70,000 a camera, but I mean, look at all the liabilities they're facing for the damages in 17 and 18. I mean, you put 600 to 700 cameras up there, you're talking $40-50 million, not talking $12.3 billion. I've interacted with him on the need to put these cameras, and he totally gets it. And I think you're going to find him employing all the technology that's available to us to help our firefighters and to knock down these fires. This part of the problem is soluble.
And so you heard Governor Davis's reference to UNR. You might have heard on Insight our conversations with Dr. Graham Kent, who is the director of the Nevada Seismological Laboratory and a professor. He has discussed these infrared cameras and some that are being placed in the Tahoe area. And this whole topic of wildfires came up because of former Governor Gray Davis's interest in it, his work with Gavin Newsom on it and the fact that it became personal for Governor Davis with the campfire in the Paradise area.
My sister-in-law lost her home. My niece lost her home. And she called my wife, Sharon, and said she was going to a gas station. Nobody had said to evacuate, but the sky was looking really bad. And she heard a police officer talking to the gas station attendant saying, I don't know why people are still hanging around here. This is a disaster about to happen. So she gathers up her family, starts leaving town. By the time she did all that, it was like a parking lot trying to get out of town. And Paradise had decided to limit the roadways through the main part of town to one lane in each direction. So that works well if you want to encourage people to stop and shop, but obviously if you want to evacuate, that's another matter. So she finally got on the other side of the road and just spoke to us of a really harrowing experience with flames whipping up, within a couple feet of her car. She made it out. I just have such fond memories of Paris. It is so pretty. And just to think that town is destroyed. If we had cameras up there, there would have been enough warning that the fire would have been far less devastating. Now, there were other wind conditions going on there. I don't want to put a number on it, but we would have saved lives and we would have saved property. And as I say, it's $70,000 to have a camera installed. It's a relatively cheap date given the amount of heartache, human loss, and property damage that has resulted. So, I speak, my family was affected by it. They're alive, but, you know, it'll be a year or year and a half before anyone can rebuild, because what they don't tell you is, in addition to having to get the permits, a major fire like that, the government has to come in and make sure that the soil is not contaminated. Maybe the gas station, maybe you had some chemicals that interacted with the flames. So that takes about a year to get that done. So you're talking about a year, year and a half before you can even begin to rebuild. So people's lives are on hold. We don't have to continue to have this happen in California, and frankly, we should not allow it to happen.
Again, Governor Newsom and emergency response leaders from across the state of California will be in Colfax this afternoon. There is going to be an announcement about the state's emergency response actions. We will follow this and bring you details this afternoon in All Things Considered. And thanks again to former Governor Gray Davis for his time and the extended conversation. This is Insight on CAP Radio.